This is Jay Sekulow. In every working day of the final year of the Obama administration, American citizens unmasked.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Obama's former U.N. ambassador, Samantha Power, was requesting the so-called unmasking of Americans almost daily in the final months of the administration.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Two sources telling Fox News that requests to identify Americans who surfaced in foreign intel reports topped 260 requests last year, far higher than the average number of requests by prior U.N. ambassadors.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, the number of unmaskings that are being reported at over 250 of them that took place, as we said in the open, it says in the last year, but it was actually over the last couple of months of the previous administration, is a mind-boggling number of as to what was going on here. I mean, why was it that Samantha Powers, the U.N. ambassador, yes, on the National Security Council, but I think it was John Bolton who said that he unmasked during his entire tenure, maybe two or three people. Yeah. Why would she unmask almost 300 and or two, over 250, I think is a fairer number, and do this during a presidential election? And then you've got this whole issue developing, as you've seen, with these leaks on this supposed, and again, I have no independent knowledge of this, but based on media reports, that there was a second FISA warrant aimed at Paul Manafort, and it may include conversations he had with the president of the United States, according to media reports, which would raise another issue because a FISA is supposed to cover foreign intelligence surveillance, foreign officials, not two American citizens. In fact, under the statute, if there are two, if a FISA warrant is utilized and there are, in fact, two Americans that are
picked up by the wiretap.
Yeah, under Section 702, Subsection 5, that communication is supposed to be destroyed, not leaked. Because if you leak it, you're violating the Espionage Act. All right, we'll take in your calls and comments on this. How's that make you feel about the deep state? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
I want to put the Samantha Powers unmasking into context. Almost all of these 260s unmasking, people keep saying over a year, and that's more than one for each working day of the calendar year. But almost all of these occurred in the final days, okay? Days of the Obama administration. So in just the final weeks of the Obama administration. So this wasn't like one or two a day over a year. This was dozens or more in a single working day. Now, to put into more context, her number of requests are unprecedented in the history of UN ambassadors who have also the position to unmask. So they were also on a National Security Council, which isn't so unusual. No other UN ambassador has ever even made half of the request Power made in their entire career, let alone a year or a few months. So not an entire career has a UN ambassador with this ability to unmask, so they're on the Security Council too, ever made this. So the question I would like to know too is, how many did she unmask like the year before versus this final months leading up to? I mean, we keep saying over a year, but this happened 260 in a couple of months.
Remember who the FBI director was at the time that would have allowed for and authorized the FISA warrant to be obtained. Now, he couldn't authorize the actual FISA warrant. That was from a FISA court judge.
Does it basically get...
Yeah, well, they had some trouble on this one, though. And that
one
was
rejection.
James Comey. Yeah, they had a rejection out front. Raises a whole host of issues. We'll talk about those at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go up to Thane Bennett in our government affairs office quickly here. What is the status of the oversight hearings with regard to the whole this whole issue that Senator Grassley's raised about, was the president ever notified about these concerns over Russia?
Yeah, Chairman Grassley wants to know if the FBI notified the Trump campaign, and it's largely due to the two topics that you just mentioned, the volume and the timing. I mean, the idea that the UN ambassador would request unmasking to this frequency, and then, Jay, we have to say it again, this was Donald Trump as president-elect all the way up to the inauguration. That is very alarming, and Senator Grassley, Chairman Grassley, wants answers on that point.
Well, he should get answers on point. This was the president-elect of the United States, and then if the FISA warrant number two is correct under that situation, that would mean that there could have been conversations that were taking place again under the FISA warrant where the president-elect was in place, and then one media report said the president may have spoken with Manafort after the election. They didn't have any details on that, and I don't know if that's true, but I will tell you this. It would raise a whole host of issues if the FBI was listening to the president.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want your information. How do you feel about Samantha Powers doing this unmasking of hundreds of American citizens and the possibility that in a surveillance activity aimed at Paul Manafort that a conversation may have been overheard involving the President of the United States? You remember the President said that, and he used the phrase, he put it in quotes, he said wiretap, that he thought he was concerned by the previous administration they had been wiretapped. He put the wiretaps in quotes for a reason, because you don't really tap wires anymore. It's not like that. Question is surveillance. The media wants to dive into what we call irrelevant minutia and kind of split hairs to deny the reality that if their reports are correct, again, if the media reports are correct, that there was a second FISA warrant, and that second FISA warrant was on Paul Manafort, and if there was a conversation, as the media is alleging, between Paul Manafort and the President of the United States, guess what that means? The President would have been surveilled. Now, it would have been surveillance through another party. But to say that they weren't listening to a conversation involving the president, based on their media reports, by the way, I have no independent knowledge of any of this. It shows you the irony of what they're doing to go out of their way to try to say, oh, no, this was business as usual. Let me tell you what this was not: business as usual.
No, to remind people, Paul Manafort had an apartment in Trump Tower. When the president made the tweet, he said Trump Tower is being tapped. So he was actually even being more specific that it wasn't necessarily his phone. And remember, they made a whole joke about they would never wiretap his phone. Well, they were wiretapping his campaign chairman's phone.
Well, they're not. It's wiretapping, quotes, surveillance. It's not.
But they were tapping into his phone conversations. The way they do that may not be through wires anymore.
Yep.
But they still call it that. Actually, yep. the at the FBI, they still use that tap language. And the mainstream news also is using that language. This is, again, when the president and realized, and maybe this is why Chuck Grassley, I think, Than, is asking the FBI to respond. Was the president made aware that people on his campaign or even part of his transition were under surveillance? Because you would think that that would be something the president's FBI should let him know while he is preparing to run the country in the transition phase as president-elect.
You would think.
And he's getting full security briefings. And then certainly after he takes the oath of office, because this tap on Manafort continued, it is reported, until months after the president was sworn in.
Well, and every indication, Jordan, is that not only were they not notified, but every member of the national intelligence team continued to testify in front of Congress that none of this was going on. Now, of course, you have James Clapper saying on cable interviews that, you know, maybe he could have been picked up. But remember, his sworn testimony was that it never happened, that he was never surveilled. And now that they're caught, how many times have we seen this? Now that they're caught, they admit that it's possible it would have happened. So Chairman Grassley wants to know, you didn't tell us the truth. Did you at least tell the president-elect of the United States states that there was a wiretap going on that might pick him up. I suspect the answer to that is no,
but
he certainly should come before Congress and answer the question.
But, I mean, this was all happening in the final months. Remember, also, don't forget that executive order changing the nature and who gets the actual intelligence information. All of that took place at the end. And as Jordan pointed out, the Samantha Powers unmasking was taking place over a period of months, not years. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to all of this? Do you think the president was being surveilled? Do you think that this was normal activity? 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Tricia. And Tricia just dropped. Dan in D.C. on line one. Dan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. I just want to make 2 points. One is that for crooked people, this is business as usual. This is the way they do things. They're crooked. And number two is part of the problem is not just finding out and knowing all these things, but that the fact that it seems like more and more often that people with deep political connections or politicians are not being brought to justice, being prosecuted or convicted on the things that we know and have found out they've done illegally.
Well, let me tell you this. 18 U.S.C. Section 798A is the Espionage Act. And let me say something right out front here, because I think it's important to get this point over. It's not just that there was a FISA warrant issue and that FISA warrant had conversations that may have included, again, based on media reports, conversations with the President of the United States, which raises a whole host of legal issues. But the leaking of the FISA warrant information creates another issue. And what is that? 18 U.S.C. 798A. It's called the Espionage Act. This section of the Espionage Act makes it a felony to communicate or otherwise make available certain classified information, including classified information concerning the communication intelligence activities of the United States or obtained by the process of communication intelligence from the communications of any foreign government knowing the same to have been obtained by such process to an unauthorized person. The unauthorized person here would be, of course, the media. Section 793 of the Espionage Act makes it a felony for a person with lawful access or possession, even, you know, someone who actually has the right to have the document, to convey it to an unauthorized person. The media would be the unauthorized person. Section 793E, the Espionage Act, makes it a felony for a person with unauthorized access or possession to convey it to an unauthorized person. So it's both unauthorized to unauthorized. So the and of course the Espionage Act has a conspiracy provision. So what we have to be asking ourselves is what is going on here? And this goes back to our fundamental issue with the deep state, these people that are entrenched in the bureaucracy. Because Jordan, we don't know if these people are still there. We know James Comey's not there.
Yeah.
But we don't know if what level of aid is still there.
Well, let me tell you who is still there.
And we also don't know who reviewed this matter.
That those people are still there, though, likely that the NSA people who would have then done the unmasking for Powers, that would have executed the FISA warrant, that could have picked up conversations with the President of the United States. Those people are likely still there. Those are the people that are usually the ones that do leak information. The individual in Augusta, Georgia, she was a leaker. That they have access to this info. So you're think about this.
Yeah.
These are government contractors most of the time. They didn't work directly for
the
U.S. government. They get security clearance. They're young, and they may have picked up on presidential conversations.
Well,
under FISA, and the White House was not notified. The
former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, was on Don Lemon's broadcast yesterday night.
He's walking it back.
Listen to this conversation.
Is it possible the president was picked up in a conversation with Paul Manafort?
It's certainly conceivable. Yeah,
is it likely?
I can't say. I wouldn't want to go there, but I will say it's possible.
Okay, I want to now play. I want to find his testimony where he said he had no knowledge of anything like this happening.
And how about the Department of Justice saying that there was no surveillance of Trump Tower?
Yeah. Well, what about that?
I mean, so they lied because there was at least surveillance of Trump Tower because Paul Manafort was there.
Right. So this is raising some serious, serious issues. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, James in South Carolina Jane in South Carolina on line three. Jane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jane.
Dan, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I can remember hearing back in December, January about the unmasking, and there were rumors of that kind of thing. And there's a New York Times article that appeared December 3rd, 2016. So after the election, before the inauguration, talking about unmasking and the hearings that they were going to hold. And the whole goal of these people that, you know, what they're doing to Donald Trump is to fuel a narrative that the incoming president and the Republicans, other people who support him, cannot be trusted.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm laying out the evidence for you in this broadcast. And I hope on Facebook and Periscope you're sharing it with your friends, because we're just laying out the evidence. James Clapper, Director of National Intelligence. This was in an interview he had with Chuck Todd. What was the date of that, Will? Can we get that? March 5th of this year. About the same topic we just questioned, the same statement he just responded to. This is what he answered. You know what he answered last night? Let's play Lance Knight's answer first again. Let's play what he said last night when asked about this question.
Is it possible the president was picked up in a conversation with Paul Manafort?
It's certainly conceivable. Yeah,
okay. Likely. So he said, yeah, it's certainly conceivable. That's a little bit different from this, James Capper, Clapper, former director of national intelligence from 4 months ago. Listen to 22.
For other Title III authorized entities in the government or a state or local entity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the FBI, for instance, had a FISA court order of some sort for a surveillance, would that be information you would know or not know?
Yes.
You would be told this.
I would know that.
If there was a FISA court order on something like this.
Something like this, absolutely.
And at this point, you can't confirm or deny whether that exists?
I can deny it.
There is no FISA court order?
Not to my knowledge.
Of anything at Trump Tower?
No.
Really?
Think he's covering himself, guys?
Think he's covering himself a little bit there, James Clapper, former director of national intelligence. By the way, these guys were running. No, that was a Chuck Todd interview.
No, his first.
Oh, he did say something under oath in his testimony on Capitol Hill. We'll find that from the next segment of the broadcast.
A lot of testimony.
Yeah, there was. And so what you've got is, I want everybody to understand what exactly you have here. So now they're saying there was, you know, the media's reporting, and by the way, they love the way the media's trying to cover themselves by saying, although they weren't surveilling on Trump Tower, there was no surveillance of the president, there was no surveillance of Trump Tower, and then saying, well, yeah, I mean, the second FISA warrant, but it wasn't aimed at the president, it just may have overheard the president, which Clapper now says may well have happened, but 3 months ago said it could not happen. All right, we're taking your calls and comments when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Second half of the broadcast, we're going to get into a little bit more on the conversation on the Affordable Care Act. Looks like it's coming down to one senator from Alaska. We'll do that in the second half hour of the broadcast. We're going to do another segment coming up on where we are with this information on FISA. Hey, stand with the ACLJ. We encourage you to do it as we work on this repeal of Obamacare. We got our teams working right through the weekend. You can do that by signing our petition at ACLJ.org and supporting the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. O-R-G. We'll be back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
So James Clapper, no, there was no surveillance. Yes, no, there was no FISA warrant. Yeah, there may have been a FISA warrant. Yeah, they could have surveilled the President of the United States. That was over a course of about 4 or 5 months. We've got calls coming in on this. Obviously, we've got FOIA requests out on a lot of this information.
Yeah, we do.
So we're in federal court on this. You want to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, so we have FOIAs on both Susan Rice and Samantha Power. We're waiting for responses. They've just reached the deadline. Now, usually give them an extra few days before you take them into federal court. But likely for both of these, we will be having to go to court to demand the responses to FISA. These went to, of course, you know, you had the State Department involved, the National Security Council involved, the NSA involved. So this would be probably one of our tougher FISA battles because we'd be directly battling the deepest of the deep state actors, especially when you're talking about the NSA.
All right, let's go ahead, and I want to ask Stan Bennett this. How much attention is all of this getting right now in Washington? I mean, I know a lot of the attention's on, obviously, the health care vote, and we're working on that aggressively. What's your sense?
Well, it's getting a lot, Jay, but look, I think people need to be reminded that the only reason it's getting any attention at all is because our FOIA cases and others like it are catching them in the act. I mean, you've played the evidence here. James Clapper denying. And what? He doesn't just come to his senses and admit it. He gets caught, Jay. So that's why we're continuing these FOIA cases. I'll be just very straightforward and very honest. If we don't catch them in the act, Washington, D.C. is not going to hold them accountable. If we catch them in the act and present the evidence, they won't have much choice to, but we've got to do that work first, and then they will act.
And that's exactly, so we don't just talk about it here. We're getting to the bottom of the information. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-31. Tell us, grab another one.
Yeah, Raj called in Virginia on line 5. Raj, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Raj.
Hi. You have done such an excellent job.
Thanks.
On all fronts, we've been besieged. You've got so many things you're handling, and so I must congratulate you, compliment you, say bravo, whatever.
Pray for us, too.
My question is this. With something of such great importance across the agencies, which has been going on at such a deep level, affecting national security, which is amounting to treason, where secure information has been leaked to the enemy.
Yeah.
If this is not stopped right away, isn't there, I mean, the chief executive could straight off place them under administrative leave without pay and separate them from all confidential and secure information.
Well, you raised 2 points. One is, look, on the unmasking and the leaking. So the unmasking itself, there's a policy in place called minimization, and subsection 5 says if it ends up being two domestic individuals being talked to, that you're supposed to destroy it. Okay? That's how that's supposed to work. But the leaking of the FISA warrant, the existence of the FISA warrant, and who may have been subject to the FISA warrant, and what conversations they may have had. In this case, you know, the media is alleging conversation between the president or president-elect, certainly at that point, and Paul Manafort, and maybe even after he was president. That is a violation of 18 U.S.C. 798A, Raj, and that is the Espionage Act. And that's a felony. And I went through what 798 is the Espionage Act. It says you can't be... if you can't share this kind of classified information, there's also a conspiracy statute, which is in 793 as well. So when you look at all of this, you say to yourself, why was this allowed to go on? And I think this raises, Stan, what Senator Grassley has asked now of the governing officials in the agencies. What did you tell during your briefings with the then president-elect of the United States? What were you saying?
Well, he wants to know what the FBI told the president-elect of the United States. We have to keep saying that. But look, I don't think he has much confidence that he told him anything because, look, the director of the FBI was one of the ones not only deliberately leaking information, but premeditating to deliberately leak information. And I'll just say this. On all these investigations, Jay, it's pretty telling, isn't it, that it started looking into foreign interference in election, and where have all of them shifted now? All of them have shifted now to what did the United States government do to impact elections? Jay, that is a frightening thing, and all of those investigations better see it through to the end, because if we can't right that ship and we're undermining our own investigations, we lose everything.
Well, you ask yourself this question, Jordan. I've thought about this. Is how can Samantha Power, was she like tasked by the administration
Maybe.
To go through? Okay, because, you know, she was the U.N. ambassador, but she was on the National Security Council.
For some reason,
was she tasked to do this in a three-month period, a four-month period? So I want you to unmask everything you can?
Well, obviously, something happened, and I think it's very clear they wanted to get as much information as they could about the incoming Trump administration and have the information then disseminated so they could continue to undermine them. We've seen a lot of these leaks stop, but there was just, let's remind people about what it was like in January, February, March, and even leading before that. The leaks, it was like a torrential downpour of leaks, multiple leaks a day, people losing their White House jobs, people not even making it into the White House who were the president's closest advisors because of leaks of unauthorized and in some cases classified information. I believe people like Samantha Powers likely were tasked. I don't know that she was just doing this on her own. That's hard to believe. And they never leaked anything. I think Susan Rice and Samantha Powers, they did the unmasking. They got the materials out there. And then once you get this material out there, hundreds of people get their hands on it, and it's very easy to make it into the hands of reporters.
Well, also look at the time frame of what was going on here.
It's all right.
It was right when that executive order was changed. So a lot of this is going on when now all of a sudden, instead of going to three people, it goes to 16. Yeah, 16 agencies. So
Flynn goes immediately. You know, I mean, you see all of that. The Manafort issue. You see the you saw so much leaking. Every meeting at the White House was being leaked. All the transition information was being leaked. There's just no excuse. There's no good defense other than the fact that she had the power to do it, which is not a defense for how many times she did it.
John Brennan was the CIA director during this time. He was asked by Trey Gowdy in May of this year. I want you to take a listen to this.
Do you recall any U.S. ambassadors asking that names be unmasked?
I don't know. Maybe it's ringing a vague bell, but I could not answer with any confidence.
On either January 19th or up till noon on January the 20th, did you make any unmasking request?
I do not believe I did.
I mean, I want to play the beginning of that again. I want you to hear this again. I want you to hear, we'll break into it after the first part, but this is pretty breathtaking, folks. Take a listen.
Do you recall any U.S. ambassadors asking that names be unmasked?
I don't know. Maybe it's ringing a vague bell, but I could not answer with any confidence.
A vague bell. How many U.S. ambassadors would have possibly been on the National Security Council at that time? So if it rang any bells at all, there could only have been maybe one or two, right? Samantha Power being an international ambassador. I wouldn't imagine any others would be even.
Nope.
So if it rang a bell, he knew exactly what Trey Gowdy knew.
Did you hear his voice?
He's a liar. He acknowledged right there, I could tell you something, but I'm not going to.
Right.
Typical of the Obama administration folks. I mean, listen, we're not past this yet because they totally undermined this president for the first few months of his presidency. And a lot of people, you could say, this is what led to this whole special counsel mess, is all of this information that should have never been disseminated in the first place.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. You can see it via video. You know, you actually be in the studio with us, the television version of the broadcast. You could also just get the audio version. You can go over to Facebook at Jay Sekulow, and it's live there as well. You could watch it, of course, on a number of devices, your Roku, Apple TV. So this is a radio broadcast and a television broadcast at the same time. We encourage you to do that. We're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. Got a lot more on this. We're going to get into the healthcare issues a little bit later in the broadcast as well. And again, I want to encourage you to sign on to our petition that we're delivering to Congress. Hey, Thin, in 10 seconds here, how close are we?
Very, very close. You got to have Lisa Murkowski's vote. That's where we're focusing.
Focusing on Lisa Murkowski. So we've been able to narrow the scope of this on the healthcare bill. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we're not getting reports, 250-plus unmaskings by Samantha Powers, the U.N. ambassador. We've got reports of a second FISA warrant that was issued. That's being leaked, and that could include conversations with the president-elect of the United States, or maybe even the president of the United States, including, according to media reports. That would also be a violation of both the Espionage Act and Surveillance Act, subsection 5 of the Domestic Communications Rule. If it was just two Americans, that should have been destroyed. You then have this idea that if, in fact, they're leaking information about FISAs, which apparently they're leaking to the press, they're saying they've got sources, that's a violation of the Espionage Act. And if people are working in concert with them, that could be a conspiracy in violation of the Espionage Act. Pretty serious stuff. Very serious stuff. And then you've got backtracking going on by James Clapper, John Brennan, everybody can't remember, nobody knows. Veronica on Facebook says, vague bell, that was in response, by the way, to Brennan's statement. Yes, I know, but I'm going to cover for myself. I think that she's right. That's what I think what Brennan was saying was, vaguely, this means I'm not going to lie under oath, but I don't know because I don't want to say, but that rings a bell that somebody do you not know, by the way, that there were 230 or 260 unmaskings in months?
By one person who was an ambassador, which, again, how many ambassadors possibly had this? I'm not sure if there was one or two other ambassadors that were served on National Security Council, but I'm assuming there were not many, and it may have been just Samantha Power. So the fact that it rang some bells with him vaguely, he was acknowledging yes, but without getting himself in legal jeopardy because he was saying, you go figure it out. I'm not going to tell you.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to line 6, Jordan. Vicky's been holding a long
time. Vicky in Texas on line 6. Vicky, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Vicky. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey. And first, I'd like to thank Jay and Jordan. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Sure.
And my question is, if it's coming out that so many in the deep state are breaking laws and engaging in illegal activities, why is it so difficult to prosecute them? You know, Congress addresses these issues often, but then nothing is done.
You got to find out who they are. And that's part of what our Freedom of Information Act request, that kind of deep state litigation, as I call it, is to find out who the players are. Now, we don't have the authority under the Constitution. We can't bring a criminal case. That has to be brought by the Department of Justice. But you raised the question, Vicky, about the House and Senate. They do have oversight capacity here. Then the question I think that everybody's asking is, are they going to exercise it? Senator Grassley has asked an interesting question. If all this was such a problem, why didn't this go to the president-elect and his team during the transition? Now, maybe it did, but it doesn't appear to be the case.
He wants to know why the Trump campaign wasn't warned, and I'm glad he's asking that question. But quite frankly, Jay, we have to say this again. D.C. follows the work of those of us on the outside. I mean, it's only when we catch James Clapper and John Brennan in these lines that they spring to action. Very good results having Lois Lerner and Jim Comey out of a job. Those are the first step. But if you're going to really have prosecutions, we have to continue our work and catch them. And just quickly, Jay, I want to put a hypothetical to you. What do you think the outcry would be if this was Nikki Haley that had done all of this, say, in the next election against Bernie Sanders?
They'd be calling for her to be removed from office. Here's an interesting... I think we lost Than. No? All right.
I'm here, Jay.
All right, very good. I want to play this soundbite. This is another one from... because we mentioned Senator Grassley. Let's play it.
Did either of you ever review classified documents in which Mr. Trump, his associates, or members of Congress had been unmasked?
Oh, yes.
You have. Can you give us details here?
I can't.
Ms. Yates, have you?
Yes, I have, and no, I can't give you details.
Well, there you have it. So, there's not really a question in Jordan whether they unmasked individuals affiliated with the campaign. They're admitting it because they have to. Yes.
It rings a vague bell, right, Jay?
Vague bell.
250 times.
Vague bell.
Yeah, I mean, this folks, to me, undermines, and this is in Jordan Sekulow's opinion, special counsel, it undermines so much of this investigation of the president that we're supposed to believe is ongoing, and his team. And I don't speak for everybody. I don't speak for Paul Manafort and what may be happening there, or Michael Flynn and documents he may not have signed correctly. But this just reeks of the deep state, who didn't want to lose control when Donald Trump got elected president. So they did everything they could in those final months and days.
All right, we're going to come back and take your calls.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. And for you conspiracy buffs out there, a little known fact that Samantha Powers is a graduate of Lakeside High School, and so is the chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, me. I also grew up, we went to the same high school. I was there a lot earlier, long before Samantha Powers was there, but we are high school graduates of the same alma mater, myself and Samantha Powers. I will tell you this, I have not unmasked anyone. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and go to David's calling from Maine on line one. David, go ahead.
Hey, Jay.
Yep.
40-year Republican, conservative. What sickens my deepest stomach is the Republican Party compared to the Democrat Party. You're always seeing the Republican Party weak in taking the next step in prosecuting and getting that, getting the Congress, getting the DOJ, getting the senators all aligned and saying, we're going to be very vigilant in prosecuting. When you look at the Democrat Party, kudos to them being the pit bull compared to the Republican poodles. And they're very aggressive.
Look, I mean, they tend to, when they coalesce, they tend to coalesce with a more disciplined message. Having said that, I think you know, I'm not trying to be harsh on anybody. I just think that politically, I'll let Jordan and Than really address this. It's more their area. But I do think that the Democrats tend to coalesce more firmly, I will say. I mean, the idea that we're having a, when we get to this in the last segment of the broadcast about Lisa Murkowski and the healthcare thing, that we're even having to really go after this vote, when you hear what she said, is absurd. Yeah. But this is the way they get to play.
Yeah, I mean, some of this is because the Democrat Party does not allow dissenters within. I mean, moderate Democrat is still pro-abortion or has to play both sides. That's why you'll see pictures of Joe Manchin from West Virginia, the senator who calls himself a conservative Democrat. You'll see pictures of him holding up Planned Parenthood banners and pictures of him holding up pro-life banners. That's the only way he's allowed to remain a Democrat, which is in the Republican Party is much more big tent. That's part of the Republican kind of idea, is that there's some big issues that we all unite around as Republicans, but you don't have to agree on everything to be part of the party. Now, when you govern that way as a political party, that means that you can't rely on everybody to be there when you get these small margins. Now, on this issue, this was one of those big issues that we all agreed upon, though, issues. Repealing Obamacare. This was not one that there's supposed to be a lot of dissent on and differences on, and yet we're seeing Republicans who are afraid. I don't know what special interests have gotten to them, but that's what it appears to be about. Special interests who got to some of these individual senators, because it makes no sense politically for them to be doing this.
All right, we're taking more of your calls on this, and then we're going to start taking calls on the health care fight. We don't know how important it is. Is the repeal of Obamacare important to you? We'll take those calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. But let's go ahead and continue taking the calls on the unmasking. But again, yep. If you want to talk about Obamacare, that's coming up in the next segment at 800-684-3110. Let's go to line four, Jordan.
Yeah, Marcus in California on line four. Marcus, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank
you. Marcus. Yep.
The phone tapping started during the Republican debate, and there was 19 other people running. So did they tap all 19 because of the shadow government going after the worst person running for president, which is Trump, or the best? So what's going on with that?
Well, all indications are, and we don't know this, I have no knowledge of this, all indications are they were going after Trump and Trump associates.
Yes, because he was the leading candidate. Throughout, once he announced, he was in first place throughout the entire process. So because of that, I think that they wanted to start undermining him immediately because they saw any leading Republican would be a threat to the Obama legacy. Remember, I mean, all these executive orders like DACA, the one piece of legislation like Obamacare, knowing that there would be a Republican House and Senate if it was going to be Hillary Clinton. So this was all an attempt to undermine through leaks and through information, whoever the next whoever the Republican nominee would be. But remember, most of this started around, as you said, the convention. So he was already the nominee at that point.
So here's an interesting flashback. It was in the Wall Street Journal today. So in 2005, when John Bolton was the undersecretary, ambassadorship. He was the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. He had 10 times over 4 years asked for the names of American officials who were swept up in an NSA monitoring to be unmasked. That was 10 times over 4 years. Mr. Bolton and the State Department were clear that he followed all of the procedures and provided intelligence officials sound national security reasons for requesting the information. This was in regard to his responsibilities for arms control. Democrats argued, and that included, by the way, Joe Biden and Chris Dodd, they argued with no evidence that Mr. Bolton's requests were politically motivated and that the Los Angeles Times then questioned whether Mr. Bolton had requested the names to, quote, intimidate intelligence analysts. You hearing any of that out of the Los Angeles Times today or the New York Times, all the Washington Post or the other? No, you're not. So this is the dual nature of what's going on here. And you realize that this is all politics. There's not a legal situation here. I mean, legally, leaking the information, whether the FISA warrants were valid or not, but leaking the FISA warrants, clearly a violation. Having conversations leaked that people had with the President of the United States, those are all violations of Espionage Acts. These government employees doing this. But then you ask yourself, then, where is Congress on this? Because you look at that, those were two U.S. senators going after John Bolton, saying he was doing it to intimidate intelligence and analysts for 10 times over 4 years. And Samantha Powers, who was a class, went to the same high school I did, at Lakeside High School in Atlanta, Georgia, although I graduated way before she did. But I guess we're co-alumni. Did this 250-plus times over months.
Well, when Samantha Power comes before the House Intelligence Committee, they should read those quotes back to her because, listen, it was John Bolton's job to do this. It was his job, arms control, to do it, and he still only made 10 unmasking requests. Jay, I agree with what Jordan said on this before. I know Samantha Power was on the National Security Council, but guess what? She was the United Nations ambassador. That was her job, and yet it looks like she was primarily spending most of her time unmasking American citizens. Jay, again,
and cutting deals with the Iranians.
That's unbelievable.
Unmasking Americans while she was cutting deals with the Iranians.
And undermining Israel.
And undermining Israel at the same time. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Bob calling in from Nevada online too. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jay. I like what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
Just give you a little heads up. I'm retired military.
Thanks for your service.
And I still hold a security clearance in the DOD. And if people were doing this in the military, they would be court-martialed. They'd be sitting in Leavenworth for probably 30-plus years.
No question.
You know? And, I mean, this whole unmasking thing, I think, is... In the military, you know, you would have justification when you're doing something like that, investigating somebody's background or investigating them in general. I mean, you just can't and you know, investigate for the sake of investigating.
Well, that, and
you know,
what was happening here? It looks like to me what was happening here. Again, I haven't seen documentation, but it looks like she was just they were trying to find out what they could find out. They want to know what this incoming administration was going to do, what policies were going to be impacted by what they were going to do.
That's not okay.
And that's not okay. No.
I mean, that is not okay. And then disseminate that information to 16 other intelligence agencies, and it all leaks out. And you saw people dropping like flies very quickly from the Trump administration.
Yep.
Mike Flynn, they didn't want him as national security advisor. I'm talking about the deep state, so he was out. You saw even turnover, chief of staff. You saw turnover with Sebastian Gorka. And remember, there was a lot leaking about all these people.
Yep.
Monica Crowley, there was information leaking about her.
KT McFarland.
These are all the people that they were most concerned about having surrounding the president of the United States. I'm talking about the left. And so, in effect, I mean, unfortunately, I can say they were pretty effective in their job.
Yeah, well, that's what the previous caller said. I mean, that is part of what happened here.
It's kind of stopped now, it seems. Like the leaks of, you know, without Jim Comey, without these individuals now, they're, you know, a year removed from having this power.
Yeah.
And that fear of God, I think, that was put into many people by Director Coates and Jeff Sessions.
By saying we're going after this.
We're
going
to prosecute the full extent of the law. That suddenly these leaks appear to have stopped. Now, you're always going to have some internal leaking and politicking, but I'm talking about these national security leaks have appeared to stop.
All right, we're going to go take a break in about a minute and a half. We're going to get into the issue involving the healthcare debate, but we've had a caller that's been holding for a while. I want to grab it before the break.
Yep.
Letitia, go ahead.
Hey, Letitia, you're on line three.
Hey. Hi, sir. I just wanted to call and to thank you guys for everything you do.
Thanks.
And to encourage other callers or other listeners, because so far today I've called McCain's office, Murkowski, Collins, Rand Paul, and I just asked them to eliminate Obamacare and vote yes for the new Graham-Cassidy bill. So please continue to encourage your listeners and I also, I like how you guys play their advertisements.
Yep, we're going to do some of that coming up. Letitia, we're going to do some of that coming up in the next, you want to stay tuned. We're going to have that coming up in the next segment. All right, we're taking a break. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Fan, quickly, one vote here that we got to really focus on. I mean, others you can't ignore, but Murkowski's the vote.
I think you focus on Lisa Murkowski, and the choice is simple. You get 70% of what you promised your voters, or you get 100% of Obamacare. And, Jay, the deadline is next Saturday. That's
and
the last shot.
Alaska's having a really tough time with all of this. So her constituents need to be calling, too. And we're on in Alaska. You need to be calling her office. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison. Stay tuned.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 888-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, so we're going to take your calls now. We're going to change topics here. We're going to go right to the healthcare issue. I want to go to Than really quickly, and then I'm going to play some ads of Senator Murkowski. So, Than, where is it laying right now as far as the Graham-Cassidy bill, which we think is great legislation, a really good start on fixing this. It'll be better, I think, for families in the long run. We talked about that. State grants make sense. Gets it back to the states so the governors of the states, their health and human services secretaries can figure out what to do, what will be best to do for families so they don't have, you know, $50,000 or $40,000 in premiums that they're paying out before they even get any coverage. Where are we right now politically?
Well, and I would add the most pro-life version of Obamacare repeal we've seen, Planned Parenthood defunding, and none of those state block grants can be used for plans that cover abortion. Jay, the vote has to happen before next Saturday. That's when the reconciliation instructions expire. Leader McConnell has said he will absolutely schedule that vote if he gets the 50 votes. Jay, I don't think he can get to 50 votes without Lisa Murkowski's vote. And as Jordan has laid out, I think there are others that are in play, but I think she's the one that brings the others with her. So we need to have her answer. People in Alaska need to call. You played some of this sound, too. Things are getting very, very bad in Alaska. She will be choosing Obamacare if she lets next week expire without backing this bill.
So our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson, is with us in studio, as he is often. And I've got this question, Professor Hutchinson, and that is, there is a lot of pressure. There's interesting pieces in the Wall Street Journal, interesting editorials that Alaska is, and it's really tough up there right now for them with health care because the course costs have gotten so exorbitant. What's your sense of what's in play with her?
Well, according to many analysts, the chances are less than 50-50 that Lisa Murkowski will support the Graham-Cassidy bill. In other words, she is prepared to support the status quo. So that's the quintessential question. Will she support the status quo, which is Obamacare, which harms Alaskans? Alaskans have received up to 200% increases in health care cost for insurance. That's astounding, but yet Murkowski seems willing to cave to liberal and media interest. And well, it's difficult to explain it, particularly in light of her promise to repeal and replace.
Okay, so let's play. We've been laying out the evidence for you in a lot of things today. Let's lay out the evidence on Senator Murkowski, what she said from the floor of the United States Senate just 2 years ago about this issue of Obamacare and what it's doing to her constituents.
Family of three in Ketchikan, they're going to be paying almost $2,000 a month next year for one of the cheapest bronze plans available. They're not going to see any benefit until they have spent just about $35,000. Now you contrast that $2,000 per month for health insurance with their mortgage payment of $1,250. Does this seem right to anyone? It should not cost more to provide health care coverage for your family than to own your home. And that's why I support the bill that repeals the ACA.
Well, that's why we're playing this evidence, folks. I mean, what is the possible excuse here when you're saying your own constituents are paying basically $35,000? That was 2 years ago. It's, I'm sure, up to $40,000 or more.
We've had
right
those
now.
Calls this week of people who are paying more than their mortgage, more than their rent, $1,700 for the husband, $1,700 for the wife, $32,000 deductibles. I mean, this is exactly what Lisa Murkowski predicted has become reality, and Alaska is one of the hardest hit states. They actually need those block grant funds. As Harry was saying, it's one of the states that actually can make the best case for why this is great legislation. Some of us have said this is a pretty good legislation. For a state like Alaska, it's great. Considering what they're facing. So Lisa Murkowski should be feeling more pressure than ever before. And remember that Capitol switchboard number. We've had callers say it. It's 202-224-3121. Call Lisa Murkowski's office today. Call John McCain's office today. 202-224-3121.
Let me also add, we're on in Alaska. So we encourage our listeners in Alaska to go ahead and be, especially if you're from Alaska. I mean, I think everybody should call, but if you're from Alaska, really makes a big difference. Let's take a call because I want Harry and everybody to analyze this one. This is on line four, Jordan. Let's take her call.
Oh, Debbie in New York on line four. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, J.
Jay and your team, God bless you all.
Thank
what
you.
Will we ever do without you?
No, you're very kind.
Obamacare, of course, is abominable. But I'm scared because my husband and I are retired and on Medicaid.
Yep.
My husband has multiple myeloma and has chemotherapy to the tune of $16,000 a month.
Yep.
It's a life or death drug. If Obamacare is repealed, and I hope it is, but how would that impact Medicaid to the states? Would he lose availability to his life-saving drug?
Absolutely not. I'll let Harry address it first, and then. But again, there's this myths that are being created around Graham Cassidy, but there's no pre-existing condition drop. First of all, you're on Medicaid, so that's not going to drop. Actually, it's going to be increased through the availability of state grants that could even supplement that. But Harry, go ahead.
Well, part of the issue is hysteria by the left. They are making all sorts of unfounded claims. And so the caller is quite right to ask about this issue, but under Graham Cassidy, she would indeed be covered through block grants. Indeed, Medicaid will continue in its current shape for a number of years. So over time, the funds for Medicaid and private insurance subsidies will be replaced through block grants. And so she would remain covered.
No loss of coverage. Yeah, but very important. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, taking more calls. Jackie in Texas on line one. Jackie, welcome to JCEO Live.
Hi, Jackie. Go ahead.
Hi, and thank y'all for what you're doing. First, I would like to say that I am definitely for repealing Obamacare, for sure.
Yep.
I have a couple of one I'd like to suggest that President Trump, that I love, go on Prime TV and sell this plan. I think he definitely needs to do this in order to get everybody on board. And then I would also like to say that I have a big concern about the states having so much control over this money with all of the illegal stuff that is coming out.
Yeah, states have been better at being able to tailor the needs for health care for their citizens based on their situation within their state. Every state's different.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, you live in a state with great governance, actually, in Texas, and you see that from the response to the hurricane, I think.
Yeah.
Letting them be the ones to kind of use as a laboratory what works best for Texas is going to be different than what works best for Florida or works best for California or New York or Tennessee. And so I do believe that, and you have a lot more of a direct relationship with not just your governor, but your state legislature. You know, they live in your neighborhoods, your state house reps, your state senators. And so it actually encourages people to get a little more involved in local politics where they actually have a direct relationship.
Do you think,
Harry, government is,
we got less than a minute here, but do you think that the fact that these block state grants, you've been a big advocate of those?
Absolutely. State governors and state legislators are actually much more accountable to their citizenry than federal legislators. Many of people in Congress and the Senate, they really don't care. They are more concerned about special interest groups, and they're more concerned about favorable editorials from the Washington Post than their own constituents.
All right, so Than Bennett, last thing here. It looks like Murkowski is going to be the main vote here, not the only, but what are we doing on that front?
Well, the argument to her is that we tried D.C. control. It was called Obamacare. It failed for Alaskans. It's time for her to take ownership for her own constituents. And by the way, Jay, she promised them, and we're reminding her of that.
All right, we're going to be working on this, folks, through our government affairs office all next week. We'll be keeping you posted. Have a great weekend. Look for the JCEO live broadcast this weekend as well. Talk to you on Monday.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.